All right, now you can have a seat. We're so glad you're here tonight. Thank you so much for making it out. We are so close to fall break, you guys, next week. Yes, it is. I can't wait. On Wednesday afternoon, I set out. It was a beautiful afternoon, and I set out on a little bit of, I was asking a question, and I wanted to find, basically to do a little free research on my topic this evening, which is peace. And so I thought I would share with you kind of what we came up with. So this is me interviewing a couple students this week on Wednesday.
Stephen, what is peace?
Yeah, I think that's a really tough question.
You guys, what do you think of when you think of the word peace?
I think of community.
I think of like quiet and calm.
Harmony. I think of peace of mind. Being outside in nature gives me that peace of mind.
Honestly, I think of Christmas, but just like calming and like looking outside.
I think of North peace. I think of tranquility and kindness and happiness among all.
I think of the minivans.
I would have to go with being finished with organic chemistry.
I think of a sense of belonging, like somewhere where you feel welcome to.
Community, awesome.
I was thinking the same thing.
Peace for me, I automatically go to the Prince of Peace.
I think peace is calm, but then also sitting in on the weekend at my house with my sweet mates.
And the first thing I think of is like silence.
Silence. I love it. I'm so grateful for those students. You know, peace can be a lot of things. It can be Christmas. It can be being done with organic chemistry. I heard you resonating with that. That was a good one. Maybe it is just at the end of a day, chilling with your housemates, being with people that you love and you know. A lot of people named like some external circumstances as well as internal circumstances that would bring peace. But no matter what, I did get the sense as I was doing these interviews about town that everybody wants peace. Everybody wants it. And no matter what, we can kind of know, if we look around our world, we know that we lack it. And so tonight, we are going to explore where true and lasting peace can be found. And we're gonna open the word to do that. If you haven't been with us, if this is your first time tonight, we're glad you're here. And we've been in Galatians chapter 5 because we've been thinking about the fruit of the Spirit. And so we're gonna start by just reading kind of the overarching verse that we've been in, and that's found in Galatians 5. And then we're gonna move to a different passage that we'll spend some time in together. But we've been shaping this series upon this verse, these two verses in Galatians, and this is what those two verses are. It says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. So together, these make up the fruit of the Spirit, and we've been exploring, so far we explored love and joy, and the third one on the list is peace in this beautiful bunch of grapes that we've been thinking about. But this idea of peace is a tough one, I think. I agree with Stephen. It's a tough one. Again, because all you have to do is look around, and you see that our collective lives demonstrate we have anything but peace. In the last few years, we've seen an astronomical rise in the levels of anxiety, probably in all of us, across the board. We need to only glance at our feed for a few minutes to name the truth, right? Our world is fraught with conflict and inequality and injustice and rising tension. And even if we were to choose to ignore the world around us, every one of us deals with a level of personal unrest that is inside of us. And maybe that even is the toughest part, the most unsettling of all. So before we can get to any good news, which I think this is what this book brings us, before we need to get to the good news, we do need to consider the bad news, that we don't naturally have peace, and we don't have it. And we're not doing a great job addressing it ourselves. We can't manufacture it ourselves. A.W. Tozer puts it this way, that we live in a world of nervous activities which occupy time and attention but can never satisfy the longing of our heart. Does that describe you? Maybe even tonight? Have you been running around, filling your life with nervous activity? What marks your life? Is it calm and contentment, or is it more like frenzy and exhaustion? I have to admit, I'm the latter. And so if you fall into that category, if you tend to, I have a question that I want to consider together tonight. I really want to think carefully together and go to the Word to find out what God has to say about peace. Because the question is, what if peace is not just a social or situational or political or even personal thing, but an actual spiritual reality that is accessible? What if peace is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of God in our lives? And there's a beautiful biblical story that we're going to turn to. And so if you want to get out your Bibles, the Pew Bibles, you're going to look in this, and it's on page 855. We're going to be in John 20. We're going to look at verses 19 through 22. And as you find that, I'm going to just set the scene a little bit. It's the moment that we're about to read takes place after Jesus' resurrection, and we're going to see how peace shows up and plays out. But when we drop in on the action, his friends are still stuck. They're stuck in their grief and their fear. And they've even been told by some of their friends, some of the women have come back and said, Jesus, we've seen Jesus alive. But they are hiding. They're hiding. And so we're going to look at John 20 together, 19 through 22. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, the doors were locked where the disciples were for the fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said that, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples rejoiced as they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So they're locked in. They're trapped in their fear and uncertainty. They had just witnessed the brutal crucifixion of their beloved teacher. Their hopes had been shattered. The doors were locked and their hearts were heavy. They had just gone through the most traumatic week of their lives. And they were paralyzed. They were paralyzed by fear, fear of persecution, fear of the unknown, fear that their future was uncertain without Jesus right there with them, physically with them. And what do? When the doors of anxiety and doubt and shame start to lock you in. Notice what happens here in the text. Into that scene, Jesus appears, not with judgment or rebuke, but with peace. Jesus comes and stands among them. And despite the barriers, despite the locked doors, Jesus shows up. Fears or doubts do not hinder him. Jesus meets us where we are. I hope you know that truth, that Jesus is ready to meet you where you are. No matter how locked away you might feel tonight even, in the moments of our deepest fear and uncertainty, he stands. He stands in our midst. He comes into the locked spaces of our hearts and into the places we think are too closed off for anyone to enter. And he brings his very presence. He shows up. Jesus shows up with peace. And Jesus comes, and he stands among us, and then he does something. Jesus speaks peace. Jesus speaks peace over us. The first words Jesus speaks to the fearful disciples are, "Peace be with you." It's really his first post-resurrection sermon, and it's a short one. He says, "Peace." He brings peace, And in fact, he is peace. He is peace. He doesn't reprimand them for being, for their lack of faith or for their fear. Instead, he offers what they need most, and that is himself. Jesus gives them himself. Jesus speaks over peace over their lives in the over our lives in the same way. He doesn't ignore our circumstances or our struggles, but he offers peace in the midst of them. This peace is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of Jesus in the midst of that trouble. It's sometimes the first step is literally saying his name, saying the name of Jesus. Earlier in John 14, 27, Jesus had already promised the disciples something. He said, "Peace I leave with you, peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give you, so let your hearts not be troubled, neither let them be afraid." And so if you think back to our passage for tonight in John 20, in this moment of fear and uncertainty, Jesus delivers on that promise. He told them he would leave them peace, and now he is doing just that. And his peace is not fragile. It doesn't depend on human efforts or the removal of difficulties. Instead, it's anchored in the assurance of his very presence in our lives. Jesus shows up as the fulfillment of the shalom, the promise and vision offered early on in the Old Testament. You know, the New Testament, we know, was originally written in Greek. And so there's a word here that's used, peace, that means calm and tranquility. But it is hearkening back to a better word from the Old Testament that would have been shalom. And surely it would have been the word that Jesus used himself. To say peace, he would have used the Hebrew word and greeted his friends by saying shalom. And it's important to know that shalom is way more than sometimes we think of when we just think of peace or the absence of conflict. It's wholeness, it's completeness, it's well-being, it's harmony, it's flourishing in every dimension of life and in our spiritual and relational and social lives. It's wholeness. Shalom is not just some distant hope or a theological concept. It's a reality that we're actually being invited into. Even tonight, we're being invited into a reality that Jesus represents, promises, and fulfills. Shalom, I've heard it described this way. It's a really easy way to remember it, I think, is nothing missing, nothing broken. Nothing missing, nothing broken. So again, it's more than the absence of conflict. It's in its place is something so much better. And really, this is the really good news of tonight, that Jesus offers you this kind of shalom, this kind of peace. It's not just peace from your circumstances. He offers peace for your very soul. He transforms and heals and reconciles. And there are areas, right now, there are areas of chaos and brokenness in your lives. And in your relationships, and maybe even in your understanding of God. So allow Jesus, the Prince of Peace, to bring wholeness to those areas. And all this is possible only because of the cross. This discussion of the fruit of the Spirit has brought us here every single week. Where does love originate? Where does joy originate? Where does peace originate? It's the cross. Jesus lost every ounce of his peace. Scripture says he died screaming, crying out, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" Having been cut off from God, he died with no peace so that he could make it possible for us to experience eternal peace. He died with no peace so it would be possible for us to have it. So we went from quite literally being at war with God, and now we are at peace, made possible through Jesus Christ, if you've said yes to him. And then not only did he die, but he was resurrected and conquered every evil, chaotic, death-inducing thing that threatens to undo your peace today in your busy lives. The enemy would love to rattle your peace and distract you with pride or lust or busyness or even productivity. The adversary wants to distract you and disorient you with lies and really any attack that works. And usually the main attack that he goes after is your very core identity. but Jesus, through his death, where he took on our sin, made it possible for us to have a restored relationship with a holy and perfect God. And he says your identity is, you are mine. And that is where our peace comes from. So instead of being broken into a million different pieces and living double lives, he invites us into this wholeness and beauty and does so by being present, by being so close that we might even feel his breath on our face. His Holy Spirit breath gives us power to walk away from death and chaos and choose life. That peace is a lot like what we just sang a couple songs ago. It's a lot like resurrection. And then if you think about it, we're walking out of the tomb, out of locked rooms, and into light and grace and mission that Jesus has for us. And again, Jesus' words in John 14, he said, they're deeply profound. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you." The distinction is critical here. The peace of the world is temporary and conditional. It depends on external circumstances, quiet days, harmonious relationships, being done with organic, personal success. But this peace is fragile. It crumbles when difficulty arises, and when challenges face us, or when things don't go as planned. I've seen it happen in my own life. I've seen how Jesus can bring peace when there should be really none at all. In small ways, this happens every day. When I feel like my life is chaotic, and if you know me, sometimes, you know, I can be a little chaotic, I've learned to breathe and to pray and to say Jesus' name and to slow down enough to hear Jesus speaking peace over me. It comes with a prayer. It comes with intentional gratitude. It comes with pondering truth instead of lies. But make no mistake, it comes from Jesus, this peace that I have. And peace is not a talent, just so you know. It's not just, like, it's not one of your Clifton strengths. I love Chris Clifton strengths. I talk about them in a lot of different ones in my meetings. I have five cool ones, I think. But peace is not on that list, because peace is a presence. Peace is a person. Peace is Jesus. There are small moments in my life where I can see how Jesus has been showing up for me in small, maybe quiet ways, but there are some bigger moments too. There's some bigger moments, and when I was pondering this for this this evening, for this sermon, one of those bigger moments came to mind, and I would love to share with you all just a quick story. It made me start to think about 3 years ago, my mom was dying, and I was close with my mom. I loved her. I was the youngest of six kids, and so I was her baby. If you talk to my siblings, I was very spoiled. I don't know about that. I did get sugar cereal, and they never did, so. But one moment that came to mind, as I was preparing for tonight, was those days and nights leading up to my mom's death. 3 years ago, I sat by her bedside as her life slipped away. It had been a long and tiring month of endless hours alongside my sister, alongside hospice nurses in her home. And then finally, the final 2 weeks came, and we really put our lives on pause. And we just moved in. And so we were there around the clock. And it was a time of really deep sadness and loss as every family member came and every friend came to say goodbye. But there was also unbelievable peace. I had been experiencing that peace every day, even as things got harder, peace I shouldn't have. But I remember sharing with the hospice nurse how scared I was for the actual end, for both the physical and the emotional things that might happen right at the end. Nurses, you know, as you shepherd people through this and get ready to shepherd people through this, I wasn't sure that peace would show up. The peace I had been experiencing, I wasn't sure it would come on that day. So during the night, on the night that she died, we prayed and we sang. And it's really hard to put into words, but when she died, it was kind of scary. It was kind of scary for a minute. But then I felt the Holy Spirit in her bedroom, in the bedroom where my siblings and I sat with her, and we sort of held our breath while she took her last breath, which was an incredible, holy, and hard thing. But there was another breath in the room. The Holy Spirit rushed through the room with a fresh wind. An amazing grace came on her little, funny little stereo in her room at just the right time. And of course, she entered into total, perfect peace because she could fully experience the presence of the one who perfectly loved her. And so Jesus was there. He showed up and he spoke peace. And he breathed a fresh wind. Jesus doesn't leave us with just words of encouragement, you guys. He leaves us with his Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to bring peace into our very lives. And that's the truth of this passage of John 20. Let's look at those last two verses again. Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he said that, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Imagine being locked up in that room full of fear. It says here in the verse that Jesus breathes on his disciples. This isn't like when your sibling breathes on you on purpose to annoy you. That's annoying. This is the breath that it dispels fear. It ends chaos. It stops the things that are separating you from God. This is God close enough to almost feel his breath on your face, like bringing a fresh wind into the room. It's like being, you know, third floor Colin, when it's finally cool outside and you've opened your window and the air rushes in and you're like, "Thank you." This is the breath that comes in, clears it out, and then sends us out. And that's the final part of the verse. After offering peace, Jesus commissions his disciples. He says, "As the Father sent me, even now I'm sending you." Notice the order. Notice the sequence. It's important. First, Jesus gives them peace. And then he says, "Now you bring peace to other people." We can't give what we haven't received. And that's the final point of Christ's words to the disciple on this occasion of his first appearance after his resurrection. It was like, "Hey, now you have a job to do." Jesus was the peace bringer, and now he was the peace sender. So these three things: Jesus shows up with peace, Jesus speaks peace over us, and then Jesus sends us out with peace. In verse 22, again, he breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit empowers us to be peacemakers in a world that desperately needs reconciliation. They desperately need this message. I desperately need this message. And I know you do too. Back to those interviews, I'm sure you can relate. I love all the pictures of peace. And really, all of them hint at a bigger picture, a bigger truth, a better peace. And I will say that it is the actual spiritual reality that is actually truly accessible, and it's Jesus. And so Jesus invites us to the table, to a celebration, to a banquet. And so let's go to that now. Amen.